on the landing place at the first pair of stairs, we were met by a young gentleman, extremely well-dressed, and a very pretty figure, to whom I was to be indebted for the first essay of the pleasures of the house. He saluted me with great gallantry, and handed me into the drawing-room, the furniture of which was voluptuously adapted to every demand of the most studied luxury. Now, too, it was, by means of a profuse illumination, enlivened by a light scarce inferior, and perhaps more favourable to joy, more tenderly pleasing, than that of broad sunshine. On my entrance into the room, I had the satisfaction to hear a buzz of approbation run through the whole company, which now consisted of four gentlemen, including my particular, the three young women in a neat flowing dishabille, the mistress of the academy, and myself. I was welcomed and saluted by a kiss all round, in which, however, it was easy to discover, in the superior warmth of that of the men, the distinction of the sexes. Awed and confounded as I was at seeing myself surrounded, made court to, by so many strangers, I could not immediately familiarise myself to all that air of gaiety which dictated their compliments and animated their caresses. In the midst of all the frolic which this joyous band had presently and all naturally run into, an elegant supper was served, and we sat down to it, my spark elect placing himself next to me, and the other couples without order or ceremony. The delicate cheer and good wine soon banished all reserve. The conversation grew as lively as could be wished, without taking too loose a turn. These professors of pleasure knew too well to stale impressions of it, or evaporate the imagination in words before the time of action. Kisses, however, were snatched at times, while the hands of the men went to work with their usual petulance, till the provocations on both sides rose to such a pitch that my particular's proposal for beginning the country dances was received with instant assent. This was a signal for preparation that the complacent Mrs. Cole took for her cue of disappearing, no longer so fit for personal service herself, and content with having settled the order of battle, she left us to the field to fight it out at discretion. As soon as she was gone, the table was removed from the middle and became a sideboard. A couch was brought into its place, of which, when I whisperingly inquired the reason of my particular, he told me that as it was chiefly on my account that this convention was met, the parties intended at once to humour their taste of variety in pleasures, and by an open public enjoyment, to see me broke of any taint of reserve or modesty which they looked on as the poison of joy. But that as such a proposal might be too violent, too shocking for a young beginner, the old standards were to set an example which he hoped I would not be averse to follow, since it was to him I was devolved in favour of the first experiment. But that still I was perfectly at my liberty to refuse the party, which being in its nature one of pleasure, supposed an exclusion of all constraint. My countenance expressed my surprise, as my silence did my acquiescence. I was now embarked, and thoroughly determined on any voyage the company would take me on.